More Australians are falling under the poverty line, according to the latest report from the Australian Council of Social Services and the University of New South Wales. The Poverty in Australia report shows over 3.5 million people were living in poverty in 2022 to 2023. While the government has made improvements to some social security payments, advocates say there's still a long way to go. Political reporter Noah Seckham has the story.
The findings of the report are clear. Poverty is on the rise. From 1 in 8 in the last report to 1 in 7 in 2022-23, with the figure increasing for children to 1 in 6. Senior research fellow Dr. Yuvasthi Naidu at the University of New South Wales Social Policy Research Centre was one of the people helping to develop the report. She says housing costs are outpacing welfare payments and says there is a clear trend of more Australians falling behind.
There are, of course, longer-term systemic issues that we need to address that in part have been done, but things like Work for the Dole, for example, was not successful in actually reducing unemployment or even long-term unemployment. So I think long-term unemployment has gone up to around 60% in 2024, which is very high. Very high. It means that people who have been unemployed for a very long time have a very high risk of not being employable in the future.
Another gap in policy noted in the report is that the government does not measure poverty, something first raised after the first federal inquiry into poverty in the mid-1970s. The Henderson report was handed down in 1975, and Dr. Naidu says little has shifted in the decades since.
At the time, the Henderson poverty line was set up based on $73 for a basic wage plus a child endowment for a two-person family with two children, where it was based on the traditional male breadwinner model. The Henderson poverty line has been tracked since then, right? We don't use that anymore for many reasons. There was a lot of momentum around then, and then through successive governments, even though Bob Hawke mentioned the ending of child poverty, there has been very little systemic, profound, impactful change in the last 50 years that have made a big difference. We've had minor adjustments to the national minimum wage. We've had minor adjustments to working age income support payments. We've had minor provisions of social housing stock, but there's not been a profound change in the way that we set up the social security system, the way we compensate and move people out of unemployment, and the way that we sustain employment over the long term, and the way that we lift up income support payments that allow people at least with the flexibility and the capacity to get work and to move out of poverty. So what we have in our academic work, we actually talk about the chronic poor, the transient poor, the always poor, usually poor, never poor. And what we found is that there is a group of people who are always in poverty. And that includes many children who are in poverty now and whose likelihood of being in poverty in the future is also very high.
ACOS CEO Cassandra Goldie says a social and political shift is needed to address poverty for the long term.
We have a culture in Australia which should disturb all of us, that we have treated people on low incomes as if there's something wrong with you, that it's all your fault, that you are to blame. And then if I'm doing really well, then it's because I'm a better person and I did something right. Well, the truth is something profoundly different. In a wealthy country, it's often very hard for people who have fallen into poverty to speak up and be public about that. There is a lot of shame that can be attached to this experience. I often get asked, well, yes, that'd be great, but how do we afford it? Well, there's two parts to that. We can't afford not to. I mean, if we want to see young people stay in further education to get themselves ready to take on the AI revolution and to make sure that people on low incomes are not just completely left behind, you've got to have enough to house yourself and feed yourself. It's pretty basic. And universities and tertiary institutions are speaking to us about how they cannot keep up with the food banks. That's what's going on for young people trying to study, is they are hungry. So we can't afford not to tackle this from that point of view in terms of, you know, the human condition, what we're prepared to tolerate. But also from a fiscal point of view, we are overall a very wealthy country. We're the second wealthiest amongst OECD countries by wealth. We have been able to find billions and billions, over $30 billion in tax cuts. We were able to find the money for that. In the lead up to the last budget, we found another $7 billion per year in further tax cuts, which of course went to everybody who was earning enough income to be able to contribute to the tax system through income taxes. Now, remember that people on very low incomes do contribute to the tax system through the GST, but they certainly didn't get any help from the billions and billions that were spent in tax cuts.
Today, the Treasurer has announced an alternative approach to superannuation reform, which he says will make the system fairer. When asked about the poverty figures, Jim Chalmers defended the government's record.
To help people on low and fixed incomes, we're doing it today with the changes to the low-income super tax offset. We've done it with a permanent ongoing increase to JobSeeker. We've done it with rent assistance. We've done it with energy bill relief. And I respect people and value people who say that we should do more and to do things faster. We do things as much as we responsibly can from budget to budget.
Greens Senator Sarah Hanson-Young says Labor isn't prioritising vulnerable households.
You shouldn't just be able to game the system because you're rich enough to get a good accountant. We continue to hear all the time, a government doesn't have the revenue for paying for this and paying for that. It is about choice.
Cassandra Goldie says while she welcomes any additional support for low-income Australians, the announcement today highlights the two worlds in the Australian economy.
The tax concessions in superannuation are costing $50 billion this year. They're the tax breaks where people are able to accumulate savings in a superannuation fund at the same time as we've got one in seven people, including one in six children living in poverty, who are still waiting for the expenditures that are going to help them to be able to keep a roof over their head and feed themselves three times a day.
Political reporter Noah Seckham ending that report.